Let's cross to Mick Lynch now, because we're going to talk about the Eurostar rail workers who are taking 7 days of strike action this month in a dispute over their work and life balance. That's what the RMT union tells us. Staff will walk out just after midnight this Friday for 4 days until the end of Monday. They will then stage another strike for 3 days over the bank holiday weekend from the 27th of August. The union says the dispute is over the hours and duty rosters for a number of train managers. Mick Lynch, as I say, is from the RMT union. Mick Lynch, good morning and thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Tell me a little bit about this deal. This 2008 deal. So this is an 8-year dispute by the sounds of things. You feel that the commitment the company made to your train managers in 2008 hasn't been honoured. What was in that deal?
Well, it goes on longer than that. The 2008 deal averted another dispute. We, in good faith, signed a document with the company where they assured us and our members that the way that the work structures are created, the rosters and the train timetable and diagrams, would allow members to get a decent work-life balance. And what that means is there's not continuous runs of very early starts. Our members get up at 2 o'clock in the morning in some instances, don't finish till after midnight, do a lot of weekend shifts, do extended shifts, working away from home over in the continent and all the rest of it. We wanted a fair work-life balance, and the company told us that they would work with us and jointly compile these rosters, and that just has not been forthcoming. We've been extremely patient through a long series of protracted discussions to try and get arrangements in place where disputes like this wouldn't have to take place. And unfortunately, the company has reneged on that deal. They've admitted that they've reneged on that deal, but they're simply not prepared to take any tangible action and practical demonstrations of goodwill. And our members are sick and tired of it now, and they've instructed us that they want to take industrial action so that the company comes to the table and presents proper proposals that will satisfy some of their requests on the way their work is structured.
Let's be a little bit clearer, if we can, on this, a decent work-life balance, because it's a lovely phrase, and I think everyone would like one of those.
Yeah, everyone should have one.
Well, tell me what you mean by a run. I mean, how many shifts in a row do you believe people should start at 2 a.m.? What is the problem with the current roster?
Well, the problem is it should be in proportion. So if the crews in the UK are getting a disproportionate amount of early and super late shifts and weekend working compared to their colleagues in the continent, that has to be rebalanced.
And is that the case? Are you saying that the British workers are getting a worse deal than their European counterparts?
That's our point of view. That's the way we see it. All we want is simply an arrangement where the representatives from the three locations, Belgium, France and London, get together, sort out a proportionate share of the work that creates a balanced roster pattern and balanced shift work, and then we can have a deal that we can all be satisfied with. The company said that they want to do that, but 8 and 10 years later, there's been no changes, and our members are continually having their unsocial hours increased. The amount of weekend working in proportion to weekday working, for instance, is on the increase, and they simply have had enough of it. They want to make a decent agreement. They understand that they will always work a heavy pattern of unsocial hours. They understand that they will do late and early turns and weekends, and they want to serve the public and give the best service they can, but they cannot have their work-life balance continually degraded.
Okay. Is this a question, though? You said that your staff, and it's these train managers, 80 train managers approximately, yeah, on Eurostar, have asked you to what they wanted to ballot for strike action. Yeah. Is this a question of them seeing what's happening on the Southern strike with RMT workers and thinking, we want a bit of the action, thanks very much? Because if this has been going on so many years, how come it's suddenly a problem right in the middle of this other major strike action that your members are taking on the railways?
Well, it predates even
does it?
No, it doesn't, because what you have on the railway is you have big timetable changes, 2 per year. Generally, you ramp up from the winter around about May and June, and then you go to a winter timetable off the summer timetable in September. We were promised that we would get a solution to this for the September timetable. The company has reneged on that. They've not made any proposals whatsoever. They're stringing us along. And our members have said, we were in discussions last year in November and October. We were in discussions again in February. We've been in June. We were with the company last week, hoping to avert this dispute. And the company has made no proposals whatsoever.
But is that partly, perhaps, because they're pretty confident that they can continue to offer a very successful service? We have a statement from Eurostar that's on their website saying they're aware of your plans for strike action. They say on the days of the strike, we've made some modifications to our timetable to ensure that our passengers will be able to travel on those days. Customers affected will be notified in advance. In addition to which, we heard Simon Calder on the BBC News this morning, a well-known travel journalist, saying that there are enough staff from the other countries that actually your strike will not bite at all.
Well, our strike will bite. The company's already said they're going to reduce the timetable, so there'll be less trains available for the public to travel on. The trains are all full over this weekend, and if there are less trains, people will have to be reaccommodated. The company will not get cooperation from the French and Belgian trade unions. Managers will probably run the trains who may not be properly qualified for the job, and they will no doubt take some steps to alleviate the problems. But there will be problems. We don't want those problems. There are 2 days left before this dispute starts. We can get round the table and sort this out with a proper set of commitments from the company. We can only wait so long. If you have an agreement with an organisation and they refuse to honour it, then you have to expect to do something to enforce that agreement. You cannot have an agreement just negated and ignored continuously year upon year.
Well, what about the work-life balance of those people who, if you say this will bite, the people who are planning on travelling this weekend and over the bank holiday weekend, but busiest times of the year, I should imagine?
Yeah, we're very sorry for that. We don't want this disruption. Our members will be disrupted. They won't get paid for these occasions. They're not asking for any money.
But you're doing this all with 2 days' notice. It doesn't really give people...
No, we haven't done it with 2 days' notice.
The strike announced this morning. For the public, it is 2 days' notice,
yeah,
isn't it?
We gave the company 7 days' notice under law. The reason we haven't made this dispute high profile is we were waiting discreetly and in confidence that the company would come with a set of proposals. I've been discussing with this company for 10 years on this issue, and no proposal has been made. So we have been very patient, and we've not chosen to disrupt the company by announcing this early, by making it a hyperbolic dispute. We want to get a settlement, and if the company makes some decent proposals, we'll consider them.
Just a quick thought about the southern situation. I understand that you were hoping for talks with no strings attached. The company is saying they will meet you, but it has to be based on their 8-point plan. Where do you go from there?
Yeah, well, the company wants to talk to us only on their agenda so that we accept implementation of the very thing that we can't accept. So they want to remove safety-critical staff from the trains. They want to dilute the regulations and the standards of safety on board their trains. We cannot accept that as a principle. We can talk about lots of issues that are related to the way that trains are dispatched and the way that trains operate, but we cannot accept a precondition that our members must surrender their jobs, our members must surrender safety standards and regulations. We cannot accept that as a precondition.
Surely getting in the door is the most important thing after the strikes affected people, including your staff, for so long. Getting in the door and talking with them.
We've been in the door many times, and there is a settlement to this dispute ready-made and on the table. Last week, we settled a very similar dispute, almost the same dispute, in Scotland with ScotRail. There is a package of proposals that ScotRail have accepted, backed by the Scottish Government. In this country, the English minister and the English rail minister are backing up Southern so that they can drive down safety standards and increase profits for Govia. If they take away those preconditions that guards must be removed, then we can talk about how Southern wants to operate its railway and how the public can be protected while travelling on their services. But we cannot accept as a precondition that we must surrender in the dispute.
Mick Lynch, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.